just ask for them to bring the scripture, John chapter 5, verse 1 to 14. The Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 1 to 14. And I would just want you to do me a favor for us to read it together this morning. There is such a corporate anointing when the people of God, just read the word of God together. There is such a corporate anointing that has been released just by us doing that. If it's ready, we can just read it together, please. Yes, I just want us to read it together, please. After this, there was the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, the sheep hid a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went at a certain time in the pool and started up the pool. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well whatever disease he had. Now a man had an infirmity 38 years. When he saw him lying there, I knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down me." Jesus said to him, "Rise. Take your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. And the day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, "Who was cured? Is it the Sabbath? Is it not lawful for you to carry your bed?" He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Then the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn. And the multitude being in that place, afterwards Jesus found him. Amen. Yeah. From the scripture we've just read this morning, it is self-explanatory, because for us just going through it, we already know the storyline of what goes on. But I want us to title this message that God has put in my heart to share with you this morning, "The Appointed Time." The Appointed Time. You know, we have two types of time. You have the time that each of us have, the time that we have on the watch, that is called the normal time. And according to scripture, we also have the appointed time. The appointed time simply means it's a time when God himself sets or comes and saves you out from a situation. You know, one thing good about time is that time lives in God. In other words, God has authority over time. So from the passage we've read this morning, from verse 1 tells us something. It gives us the occasion that it was the feast of the Jews that Jesus Christ went to Jerusalem. Verse 2 tells us about the situation, about the place where this particular incident happened. And verse 3 tells us a little bit about the history. The Bible makes us to understand that on this particular pool, the lame, the blind, they all sat there waiting for the water, for an angel to stir the water, for them to get their healing in that respect. But as I was going through this passage, asking the Lord for some of the things that, you know, that I feel that I could share with the people of God this morning, the Spirit of God began bringing these points into my heart. The first thing that we see from this particular passage is permission. You know, in verse 7, the Bible says that the sick man answered, "I have no man." Okay, verse 6, beg your pardon. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made whole?" You know, I don't know, you know, when I was reading this particular passage, you know, one would just expect that when Jesus just comes into a place, you know, he already knows all what you're going through. Why does he have to ask me the question that, what do you want me to do for you? But the Spirit of God began to make me to realize that God or Jesus is a type of person that doesn't force himself, even though he is our king in our situation. He at times takes our permission. So he asks this particular man, "What do you want me to do for you?" In other words, he's asking his permission to step into his situation. I don't know what you're going through this morning. Jesus Christ would just have appeared and just did what that man, you know, did for that man what his heart intention was. That was getting, you know, that was him, you know, wanting to be healed by the hand of the Lord. But the Spirit of the Lord began to make me to understand that at times, God himself takes permission to address certain issues of our life. It is only the devil that doesn't take permission that steps into our situation without anyone's consent. But I'm very happy that we have a king that respects our individuality, that has to take permission even when we find ourselves in such a place, like, you know, in a place of sickness like this particular man. And the second thing the Spirit of God put in my heart is the willingness. You know, if you read Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 1, the Bible says, "In the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up." The Bible says the train of his garment filled the temple. And if you go down to verse 8, the Bible makes us to understand that even God, in his mercy, he had the right to tell Isaiah that, you know, "I want you to do what I expect you to do." But he asked the question that, "Who shall go for us?" It brings us to the second point that I'm saying. God asks at times, wants our willingness to do certain things. He could tell Isaiah that, "Go and preach to these people," even though he had an unclean lips in the midst of people who were impure in that respect. But God had to rely on his willingness to do even the work that he had placed in his heart. At times, God wants us to be willing to do even the thing that he expects us to do. In this case of this particular man, this man had the willingness for Jesus to step into his situation. As we read in verse 7, he complained to Jesus that, you know, that I have I'm just paraphrasing here, that I have all the right intention to get myself into this pool. But, you know, any time that I try to take that step, you know, someone gets there before me. So in other words, he's telling Jesus that I am giving you the free right to do what you expect me to do. That is, I want to be made well. In other words, he's telling Jesus that I want to be made well, as Jesus asked him the question. And the third thing that the Spirit of the Lord opened my eyes to see in this passage that we've read this morning is, you know, I want us to focus a little bit on that man. There is a man that had been sick for 38 years. And he was waiting for the right moment. And he was waiting for the right moment for the angel to stir the pool so that he would save himself from that predicament, from that suffering that he was going through. And here, we see God giving him a song. So the third thing is, God gives us a song. The song in this respect, or in this particular passage, wasn't really a type. It was just like a sing-song, something when anyone asked him, that's what he's going to tell this particular person. In this case, the teachers of the law or the Jews met him that, you know, why are you carrying your bed? Don't you know that this day is the Sabbath? Why are you carrying your bed? He gave him the song that Jesus placed in his mouth. The one who made me well told me that I should pick up my bed and walk. So that was his song that he could sing even when he was encountered by people who didn't seem to recognize the suffering that he was going through. You know, one would expect that, you know, these religious people would come and ask, oh, we've been seeing you lying there on that particular pool for 38 years. And, oh, how is it that you are now walking? If they were interested about his life, about his well-being. But God forbid they were so judgmental in a very negative aspect that they weren't concerned about his well-being. They were there to condemn even why they saw him doing the thing that he wasn't doing before. But I've come to tell us this morning that even in that type of situation when we find ourselves, in that affliction that we're going through, God at times gives us a song. It might not just be a long song, but it might just be a word that you begin to speak to yourself unto the glory of the Lord. God gives us a song. And in this man's case, if you read verse 11 and 12, Jesus gave him that particular song. Jesus said that, pick up your bed and walk. And when the teachers of the law or the religious leaders met him at that particular time, he also sang the song to them. And in verse 12, you will see that these people had to sing the same song that Christ or God placed in his heart. And they asked him, "Who is this man? Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Take up your bed and walk. They say, "Who is this man?" So in other words, as Christ rescued him from his sickness, that was the only testimony that he had to confess when he was faced with opposition. And the next thing the Lord opened my eyes to see is availability. If you go to verse 14, afterwards Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you've been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." You know, I'm not just talking about physical availability. If you go to the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, they kept themselves, they ran away from the presence of God. The Bible tells us in Genesis 3 that God had communion, God had fellowship with them. But when they sinned, they decided to make themselves unavailable before God. So while God knew where they were, God still had to ask the question that, "Where are you?" So in other words, he was asking them that, "You are not available. You are not in the place that I expect you to be. In a place of fellowship, in a place of communion. Where are you?" God is speaking to us this morning. You might not necessarily come in a physical place like a building, but God has placed in us his spirit, that we are his living temple or his moving tabernacle. So if you read the Old Testament, you will see that the Levite, God didn't intend his presence to be carried, you know, to be carried by ox or bulls. Just like we saw how the Philistines, you know, when they captured the ark of the Lord, they placed it on the bull to take it back to Jerusalem because it was causing havoc in their camp. But God had, even while the ark of the covenant came back, when the people wanted to, you know, when Uzzah wanted to leave, you know, wanted to, you know, to cover the ark of the covenant, God had to, you know, smote him. So God's intention for his spirit is for it to dwell in his image and his likeness. That is us Christians, or that's us as believers. Availability. God asked them that, "Adam, Eve, where are you? Where are you? Where are you?" And the next thing that the Lord opened my eyes to see in this passage is about abiding in the house of God. Abiding in the house of the Lord. This man had every right to receive his healing and go back to where he was. But he made a conscious decision to remain in the house of the Lord. And even while he remained in the house of the Lord, that is when Jesus Christ came and gave him the final instruction, that, "Go and sin no more." So this scripture makes us to understand that as we begin to have fellowship, as we begin to have fellowship with God, God has certain things that He will tell us even in the quietness of time that we have with Him. It might not necessarily be, you know, in a gathering or a Sunday gathering. God might just be interested to speak to you as an individual in that place of worship. So this scripture is encouraging us, this passage is encouraging us to remain in His presence and to have fellowship with Him. And to have fellowship with Him. And going through of this passage, it gives us a picture of how the people were being catered for by God. The Bible makes us to understand that they were in the pool waiting for the water to be stirred up. So in conclusion, going throughout this passage, certain things come into play about Jesus. Jesus Christ is revealed in this passage as the one who is able to take care of each and every problem that we have. He shows us a transition from a ritual to a person. This particular passage shows us a transition from temporal healing, shifting it to the person of Christ. Shifting it to the person of Christ. And also, this particular passage shows us the supremacy of Christ over angels. The supremacy of Christ over angels, because the angels were the ones who stirred the water once in a while for the people to be made whole. But now Christ is introduced as the healer of all times, as the one we can come, as the one we can approach when we have a problem. I don't know about you this morning, but I want you to think for a moment the type of suffering that this man went through. 38 years is not 38 days. And this man had the willingness or the intention to be made whole. I don't know the kind of thing that you're going through. Yours might not be 38 years in terms of sickness. But this man had to wait for 38 years, trusting God for his healing. You might ask yourself that, oh, I'm not sick this morning. How is God addressing my issue? But God is simply saying that you might not just be physically sick like this person who had an infirmity, but you might be sick. You might have been sick in your heart. There might be troubling things going through your mind that you don't know how you can come out from that mind situation that you have. Yours might be different. You might have been praying for a child or for the healing of a child or for the salvation of a loved one. You can't count how many times you've been seeking the face of God. Maybe you've been praying for 5 years for the salvation of your sister, for the salvation of your brother, that they may come to know this risen King Jesus. But you are there still praying. But God is saying to us this morning that do not give up hope, that I am the one who is going to save, that your husband, that your wife, that your child, from that mental situation that they are going through this morning. God has come to comfort us this morning, that irrespective of what we are going through, that we have a Savior who is in heaven, Jesus Christ, who is able to turn our situation around. The Bible makes us to understand that we shouldn't worry, that we should cast all our burdens to Jesus because He cares. I don't know the kind of burdens that you have this morning, but if you can just lay it at the Master's feet and say, "Oh God, I have been praying maybe for 5 years for the salvation of my sister. It seems as if the more I pray, the more I see things going wrong. But Lord, I am not going to give up until I see you come, until I see you attend to that situation and give me a song that I might come in the house of the Lord and testify that God did it for me. Then I will know that you have been in my situation." I've come with a word of encouragement to you today, that do not give up. Jesus Christ knew the man's problem, but he was asking for the willingness, for his willingness to step into his question. Maybe you are a Christian, you are saying that, "Oh, what is my situation? I've prayed until I'm fed up with praying. Why is it Jesus Christ already knows my situation? Why should I even pray again?" But God is telling you today that, hey, from this particular passage, that it's not too late. You might just say, "Lord, I want you." Give him the permission to step into that case, and he will be willing, and you will see a transformation. There are times we as Christians might go through, through a situation. We just feel that, we might just feel that, "Oh, let me just leave it. God already knows about this situation. Why should I bother telling him if he already knows? I am his child." But God is saying that, hey, there are certain principles that I've set in place. But if you just give me a chance and just say, "Lord, come and step into my situation." Matthew 7:7 tells us that ask and you shall receive. He's speaking to Christians. There are times you have to ask something from God. That's how Jesus Christ put it. He said, "Knock and the door will be opened." If you don't knock, how can you see some of these things? Jesus Christ told them that, in the course of you doing all of this, that is when your joy will be full. God can do anything to anyone and at any time. But God is saying that just place that situation in my hand. I know you've been praying. I know you've been seeking my face. But delay is not denial. Although it seems as if I've been late to answer your prayer, my time has not yet come. That appointed time has not yet come when I will step into that situation. At times we get impatient because we are watching how the days go by. We are counting the days. "Oh, I've been praying for 1 year." But God is saying that is not my own time. When that appointed time comes, I am the one to put that song in your mouth. I'm the one to change that situation. I'm the one to heal you from that sickness. I'm the one to give you that job that you are seeking for. I'm the one to give you that promotion that you are seeking for. I'm the one to bring that your far relations to Christ. I'm the one to open your eyes because you've been praying for too long. That appointed time has come. But someone's appointed time can be today. If you can just say, "Oh Lord, I am tired of praying. But Lord, I just invite you, just like Isaiah said, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. Lord, step into my situation." I just want to stand to our feet this morning. I just want to stand to our feet this morning as we begin to pray this morning. God just says to us that there is a time, you have your own time, and He also has His own time. And it brings us to the conclusion of our message this morning, the appointed time. It is that time that God steps into your situation and sets you free from that predicament. When the wine was short, Mary asked Jesus that what do something about the wine. But Jesus Christ told Mary that my time has not yet come. In other words, that appointed time that heaven had declared that this should happen had not yet come. I've just come to encourage someone this morning that God is saying that there's an appointed time for that healing. There's an appointed time for that promotion. There's an appointed time for that salvation of your family.